Okay, everybody. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're starting from the very bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis, the last line. Tony Rav Tachlifa Achvad Rabbi Noi Chayzor Kol Mezanoisim Shel Odom Ketzuvim Loi Me Rosh Hashanah VeAd Yoim HaKipurim. All of the expected mezonos that a person is going to get over the year, meaning the income that's going to help support the family and give sustenance, that decision is made between the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Notice there's another girsa on the side. There's an aleph here before the Ad Yom Kippurim. There's a girsa of the Bach that says the Ad Rosh Hashanah. So, in other words, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, the decision is made on Rosh Hashanah. And our Gemara says the decision made between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the Netziv in Meroi Meisada says there really is no machloikis, but rather, we all know the famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that tzaddikim are nechtovim v'nechtomim v'alto v'chaim. Already in Rosh Hashanah the decision is made regarding the tzaddikim. However, the Beinonim, their decision is only made in, after the service to make tshuva on Yom Kippur. In other words, if the person is worthy and he did mitzvahs, etc., then he will live and he will get parnasa and all the rest. So that's the difference between the two girsois. Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is the tzaddikim gemurim, and our Gemara is talking about the beinim. Anyway, what does it mean that kol mezonoisu ketzuvim loi Rosh Hashanah, and what's the Gemara's point? So the top Rashi says that a person expects a certain amount of income and a certain amount of expense, and a person should not overextend himself and make a major purchase figuring, I don't have to worry, there's going to be more money that's going to come in and that'll support the family. You know, make your cheshbon of how much you typically earn a year and how much you typically spend a year, and then based on that, then decide if you want to make a major purchase, that should not put a dent into your income for the year. You see the top Rashi. Kol mezonoisiv shel odom, kol ma she'osel l'hishtaker b'shana, the amount that he's going to earn an income during the year, she'nozun, so that he'll have mezonos, he'll have sustenance. Mishom kotzav loikach v'kach yistaker b'shana zu. During that period of time, that's when it's decided, when it's set in stone, how much he's going to earn for the year. And therefore, v'yesh lo b'zoher milasis yitziyam ruba, be careful not making any major yitziyam, a major purchase. Shul yosifu lo yischar l'mezonos. At that point, they're not going to add an additional supplemental allocation. Elamasha Paskala, rather, whatever was decided in the Seres Yimei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, that's the decision. So be mindful of that if you're making a major purchase during the year. And the Gemara continues, Chutz me'atzua Shabbos v'yontiv, ha'atzua Shabbosa is v'atzua Tziyontiv, v'atzua Zbonov l'talmud Torah. For these major three haitzois, the halacha is, or the mission the Gemara is telling us, shempiches poichsin loy, if this person paid less, then they will give him a supplemental allocation. But it's going to be a lesser amount. Vim hoisif, and if he added to the amount that was necessary, moisifin loy, then they'll give him a larger supplemental allocation. The Ritva says that these are only illustrative. But really, the chutz is referring to any hoitzois which are mitzvois related. Any mitzvah, a supplemental allocation. However, the top toisah says we're specifically referring to these three based on the pasuk that we quoted yesterday in the Gemara. You'll recall that Rebbe Lezer got angry at his talmidim that were leaving group after group after group, and the final group that remained, he said to them, Lechu ichlu meshmanim ushsum amtakim, and the Gemara asked, what is this Chedvas Hashem Himu Uschem? So if you go back to yesterday's Gemara, six lines from the bottom, Ma'ike Chedvas Hashem, Om Revirch, Rishim Ablaz, Rav Shimon, Om Lekodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Bonai, Lavu Alai, borrow on my account, V'kidshu Kedushas Hayoyim, V'aminu Bi, V'ani Poireah. Oh, so when it comes to Haitzois for Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're talking specifically about Yom Tov in this pasuk, Ichlu Mashmanim Mishsei Mamtakim, etc. And our Gemara is assuming the same thing applies to Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you advance the funds and I'll pay it off, you don't have to worry. And that's what the Gemara is talking about, these two, Shabbos and Yom Tov. And as far as Hoytzuas Talmud Torah, says Rashi, or says the Tosfos, that this is also related to Yechedvas Hashem Yehudchem, that Chedvas Hashem is referring to the Simcha of Hashem is the Torah. How do I know the Torah is called Simcha? So Tosfos says, because we say in the Pasuk, Bekudei Hashem Yesharim, Misamchei Leif. So the Gemara writes, Omer Bavo, Micro. So as we noted already yesterday, isn't it fascinating that today, when we fasted Yom Kippur, that's the day when the Gemara tells us about that be sensitive and sensible when it comes to expenses, because the decisions are made today on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara writes, Omer Bavo, Micro. Bushtein Posik, Tiko Vachodi Shoifu, Kesli Yom Chagenu, Kichoikli Shavu, Mishpat Kei Yaakov. So Rebbe Vo is trying to bring a raya to the memory that we just had now, that Mizaynois of Shalodom are Ketzuvim Loi Mirosh Hashana. What's the raya? Because it says, Tikka B'Chodesh Shofar, blow the Shofar. When do you blow the Shofar? B'Chodesh. When it's the new Chodesh, B'Kes Aliyem Chageinu. When the new Chodesh, really meaning the new Levana, is covered over, and you don't see the Levana for a period of 18 to 24 hours, at the very outset, and that's why we have to wait for the Edom to come and to say, yeah, we saw the new Levana. And it's talking about the Kes, it's covered up the Chagenu on the Chag, on the festival. So when do you have a Chodesh when the festival is simultaneous and it's covered up because of the Levana? Says the Gemara, this is talking about, of course, Rosh Hashanah. Eisel Chag, which Yom Tov, Shachodesh Miskasaboy. Rashi says Shachodesh means Shalavana Miskasaboy. That you can't see the new Chodesh, you can't see the new Levana. Have you only made the Rosh Hashanah? Uksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Kechoik Yisrael, who Mishpat Lelekei Yaakov? The Pasuk Shad, the word Choik means like a Choik of Mishpat, like Zuz Chukas HaTorah. It's an ordinance, it's a law. However, our Gemara is dashing the word Choik as if it means a portion of food. For Gemara, my Mashma, the High Choik, Lishna Mizanyi, where do you take it from that Choik means a portion of food? Uksiv, it says in the Pasuk. By Paroi and the Kohanim that served the Avodah Zarah, the Yachlu is Chukam Hashenosan Lehem Paroi. They're going to eat their Chukam. Chukam means their set aside portion. So I see that Choik is a portion. And similarly, Ma'azutra Omam Yachai, I have another right, Hachifeni, Lechem Chuki. Kadosh Baruch Hu, feed me your bread of my portion. So once again, you see that Choik is related to food, and that's why when it says, which is talking about on Rosh Hashanah, when the Levan is covered over and it's a day of Yom Tov, then the decision is made, what choik, the amount, the portion of food that this person is going to get for the year. That's why the Lashon Gemara is the Mezaynois of Shalom. Gemara L'choy should say the income or the expenses. He uses the term Mezaynois because it's related to this pasuk, Kichoik L'Yisrael. Zogim Arabaita. Tanya, Amru Olav Asham Yazakim. Since we spoke about yesterday, that one of the two reasons that we gave for the Erev Tavshilin is that people should be mechabed the Simchas Yom Tov, the Kedushas Yom Tov, or that we want to be mechabed the Kedushas Shabbos. Meaning that if Yom Tov falls out on Friday and we're going to make a big party on Friday, big Sudas Yom Tov, people will forget that tonight and tomorrow is Shabbos. That's why you have an Erev Tashilin that acts as a reminder. Don't forget, yes, eat today, it's Yom Tov, but tonight and tomorrow is Shabbos. So Yemor tells us more about this, not this specific. In general, Tanya Omru Olav Hashem Yazakim Kol Yom Avayoich L'Kovit Shabbos. Throughout the week, not just on Shabbos he ate L'Kovit Shabbos, but on Sunday and Monday he ate L'Kovit Shabbos. How can you eat on Sunday and Monday L'Kovit Shabbos? Matzah Behem Noah, if on Sunday he found a beautiful animal that he thought would make for delicious meat for Shabbos, only Mizul Shabbos, he would set it aside and say, the dos is for Shabbos. Motza Cheres Noyemeno, if on Monday or Tuesday he found a nicer animal, Meniachas Hashni, now he put away the brand new one, Voichas Rishon, and then he would check the first one from Sunday, because now we have a better one. This is what he used to do every single week, every single day, always set aside the better one, the best one for Shabbos. Avhil Hazokin Midah Cheres Hashalai, Midah Hil Hazokin had a different Midah, Shekol Mas of the Shem Shemayim, everything that he did was the Shem Shemayim. So what does it mean that everything he did was Shem Shemayim? Rashi says it two or three lines higher. It says Rashi, Boiteach, he had bitochim, faith, shetizdamim loy no le Shabbos. Kodesh Baruch was already going to set aside a nice animal for Shabbos, and therefore he did not have that same minhag as Shammai, that every single day, let's find the best animal. He had bitochim that by Thursday, Friday, Hashem would send them the best. Shenemar, Baruch Hashem, yoyim yoyim, that he blessed Hashem every single day. Rashi says, Yoyim yom ya'amas lanu es tzorcheinu ba'azatat, as we're saying. Kodesh Baruch Hu every single day will go and load upon us what we need and will assist us. Now, if you would ask a regular individual whose midah is better, Shammai's or Hillel's, on the surface it would look like Shammai's midah is better, because every single day, Sunday morning, oh, have a payment, set it aside. Tuesday morning, have a nicer one, set this one aside, take away the first one. Thursday morning, have a nicer one, shine. That's a tremendous midah. Then the Hillel said, yeah, I have bitachon, we'll wait till Shem Shemayim, yeah, it's Thursday. Isn't Shammai's midah better? So the Meforshim explain that what the Kavan of the Gemara is, that Sol Kadaita Chamina Hil HaZokin's midah is less than Shammai. That's why says the Gemara, no. It's not that Hillel was, quote-unquote, lazy, or he didn't care. He cared just as much as Shammai HaZokin, that whatever he would have for Shabbos should be the best of the best. However, Hillel had such, he was in such a high madrega, that on such a high madrega, that anything and everything that he did was imbued with bitachon, with faith, and with emunah. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care, I'm not concerned for a moment. So Sunday morning he didn't have to start scratching his head, because he said, by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I know the best animal is going to appear on the scene. So that's the midah, acheres hoysoloi, such a high, lofty midah of emunah bitachon. Tanam Yochi, Avrai attacker to this discussion, Beishami Omer Meichad Shabech Lishabatech. These words are Aramaic, but Michad Shabech means from the first day of the week. Lishabatech, he was already concerned for Shabbos. Beisil Omer, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. I take it one day at a time, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will send us what I need as we get closer to Shabbos. Now, since this memra was from, I thought it was Chama Bachanina. No shtichut. Unrelated to that specific one. The reason why we're bringing this new member now of Reb Chama is because we're going to talk about Shabbos in a moment. Om Reb Chama Reb Chanina. Hanuysim botan lechamein ein tzorech leidir. If you give a present to your chavi, you don't have to advise him, just give it to him. Shenem u'moish le'yodah ki karan o'er ponav. Moish Rabbeinu did not realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu had imbued in his face these special rays, that his countenance shone. When did Moshe Rabbeinu realize it? Only when the Bnei Adam, Klal Yisrael, came and they saw that his face was all lit up, then the Klal Yisrael got very, they were afraid, and they were gave tremendous respect and reverence to Moshe when they saw that shining light. But Moshe didn't know, because I could have broken them down.
They were awe-inspired.
Thank you very, very much. Beautiful explanation. So they were all inspired, and that's the reason why the Moshe didn't know, is the chassimim, you don't have to be my dear, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu the good news, so to speak. Frank Timur, is that true? Meis v'yulim, just the opposite. It says the Gabi Shabbos, now the pasuk that the Gemara quotes is only the last four or five words, if you have the Torah or a Sholem, v'at the Dabra b'nei Yisrael, this is Ois Zayin, Dabra b'nei Yisrael Heimar, Ach, as Shabsoisa Tishmaru, keep Shabbos, ki oisi beini uveinechem verisechem ledas, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. And so what is this passing telling you? Zok Yimara ledas, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Dabba Bnei Yisrael, tell them about Shabbos Kodesh, ledas, that they should know, ki ani Hashem, that I Hashem mekadishchem, I mekadish you, and I mekadish the Shabbos, so tell them, Dabba Bnei Yisrael, about this holy Shabbos. Amr Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Matana toyi v'yeshli b'beis kinozai, b'beis kinozi. I have a beautiful matana in my treasuries. The Shabbos Shema and its name is Shabbos. When he mevakish litan Yisrael, I want to go and give it to Klal Yisrael. Leich v'idio isem, go and inform them. Therefore, we see that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't just drop Shabbos in their laps, but rather he was moidia them. which is just the opposite of what we said, according to Reb Chama b'Reb Chanina. And the Gemara continues on, Mikan Omar, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hamisin Pas Latinek. If you're giving some bread to a child, Tzorach Ledil Yimar, let his mommy know that that's what you did. How do you let the mommy know? The Gemara is going to address that in another two lines. But what do I see from this? That one should be Moidia when you're giving a matana. And you said by Moshe Rabbeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Moidia. And Anoisa Matan L'Chaveiro ain't Tzorach Ledil. Now make up your mind. You have to be Moidia. Don't you have to be Moidia? It really depends on whether the recipient is going to realize it subsequently. In other words, if you're giving a matana that he won't realize was a present, then you got to tell him. But if he's going to figure it out on his own, then you don't have to tell him. So in the case of the shining countenance, it didn't take very long, and Klal Yisrael looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were quoting Shelley, awe-inspired. Moshe Rabbeinu saw by their actions that something special has happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu found out about it. So it wasn't necessary for Kodesh Baruch Hu to tell him in advance, because he found out about it shortly thereafter. Mashenkin, when it comes to Shabbos, it's Matana Duloya Vida Legluye. And that's why you have to go and tell him in advance. Frank Timur, Shabbos Nami Matana Vida Legluye. As soon as you have your first Shabbos, you're going to realize what a beautiful present this is. As opposed to all the goyim that are still doing business, are still playing with their iPhones and the internet and their telephone programs, television programs, and this, that, and the other thing. A Yid has a chance to use 25 hours to devote himself to learning, to Torah, to davening, to being a simcha with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a tremendous present. Anybody that zocha to have a Shabbos says, wow, isn't this so special? So there's also Matan Avil Legluye. Why did a Kodesh Baruch Hu have to tell him in advance? The mitzvah of Shabbos and the present on this world, that's Avil Legluye. They're all going to find out as soon as they celebrate the first Shabbos. But the tremendous schar that one gets for having a Shabbos and for keeping Shabbos and observing Shabbos, that's not Avil Legluye. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Lodas, they should know that this is a very special covenant. Oh, you see, Beni Uvenechem, and they're going to be rewarded very, very greatly, L'osad Lovoi, for keeping Shabbos. Amamar. So we go back to the story about the person who's giving food to the Tinnik. Amamar, Mikano, Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Luisim Pas the Tinnik, if you're giving bread to a child, Tzorach Ledil, Ima, you got to tell the mommy. Pray to my mind over the light. How do you tell the mommy? Do you write out a note? I am assuming in the good old days people didn't have notepads like they have today. And so what would be the easy way of telling mommy? Shayef le mishcha umala le kuchla. Go and smear some oil on his forehead and put some eye makeup around the eye. And therefore the mommy will realize, hey, Shayfala, who did that to you? Who put that shmirach on your forehead? Who put you the eye ointment around the eye? And he'll say, oh, don't you know Yankel, our neighbor? What else did Yankel do? Yankel gave me some candies, he gave me a piece of bread, he gave me this, that, and the other thing. So she'll find out. That was good in the good old days. Today people are much more nervous about kishif, about possible sorcery, that putting eye makeup around the child's eye is kind of strange. Is my, what do? Whatever you're feeding the child, smear a little bit on his or her forehead. So if you're giving them, for instance, a peanut butter sandwich, take some peanut butter and put it on the forehead. And if it's a jelly sandwich, put some jelly on the forehead. And then the mommy will ask, hey, what's going on? And the child will let mommy know. All mitzvahs the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave for Klal Yisrael, he did it in public. Chutz mishabbos, except for Shabbos, shenosen lehem betzina, which he gave them privately. And the Gemara is going to explain this in a minute, because after all, Shabbos was given as part of the Aseres Adibros, as public a spectacle as it could be, in front of Klal Yisrael, in front of the nations of the world. What is this story that it was given betzina? So we'll see in another month. Shenema, how do I know? Says the Pasuk, Beini u'bein b'nei Yisrael, oisli olam. This is a private covenant. So between me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, and Klal Yisrael. This is the same pasuk that we were quoting before, where the pasuk says, "Latadav b'nei Yisrael, leimor achish b'soisit tishmoyru ki oisi b'ni u'b'neichem l'doir sechem." Now the Gemara is quoting slightly differently, "B'ni u'b'nei Yisrael oisi li'adam." But basically, it's the same concept, and the two psukim are only three or four psukim from one another. That this is a private covenant, a private ois between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's betzina. Okay. So if you mara nochmo, Amrav Yochanan commences nozav chutz mishav shenosel hem betzina shenemri. Great, the mara ihachi. If that's the case, lo the anshin nochrim Allah, then goyim should not be punished for not accepting the Torah because they didn't even know about Shabbos. The Shabbos thing is a private thing. So can't blame them for not being taking the Torah and taking all the mitzvahs, because one of the major mitzvahs, Shabbos, they didn't even know about. Every Mara, Yochelin and Shir Nechon Allah, Every Mara, Shabbos, Eduy, Oydi'inim. Avad, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael what Shabbos is about, and he told the Goyim, and the whole world knows that there's a Shabbos. Matan Schar, Oydi'inim. He just didn't go and share the Matan Schar. That remains private. So when it says in the pasuk, "Beni Beni Beni Yisrael Oisil Yoyim," that this is a private covenant just between the two of us, Kaviyachol Rabbi Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, that's referring to the Matan Schar that has not been revealed to the outside world. Even the Gabin Inyan of the Schar was also disclosed. Nisham Yisrael Oyedino, but about the Nisham Yisrael was not disclosed. What is this Nisham Yisrael? Tiam Reb Shimon ben Markish Nisham Yisrael Nisham Kodesh Baruch Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives at the outset of Shabbos, he gives all Klal Yisrael a Nisham Yisrael. The Motzei Shabbos not that Oisei Menu, and then 25 hours later Kodesh Baruch Hu takes it away. Shenemar Shabbos Vayinofash. That's the same pasuk again. Beni Yevein Bnei Yisrael Oisei Liolam Kishes Shem Usa Shem Zeshmei Bez Oretz. So Shabbos, after the person has finished Shabbos, vay of the nefesh, he loses a nefesh. He loses that neshama yisayim. So that's the private business that was not revealed to the outside world, this special neshama yisayim that a yid has. Now you're wondering, we all know that there is this concept of neshama yisayim, but what does it really mean? So if you look at Rashi, two or three lines further down, Neshama Yisera, Roicha v'leiv l'menucha u'lesimcha. A person has a certain bright kite, a certain broad feeling about him that he's able to enjoy the rest and the joy of Shabbos. V'liyos pasuach l'rvocha, so that his whole demeanor is open to wonderful things. V'yoicha v'yishli is able to eat and drink and have joy and be merry, and he doesn't feel any of the food is repulsive or too much. Ah, samachai lekavet Shabbos. Another piece of kugel, some more chillant. It's all gishmak, all for Shabbos kodesh. That's the end of this shtickle. The Mefarshim ask on this Gemara that the pasuk that we were quoting, "Veini vein bnei Yisrael," that's part of the Shomu b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos, last the Shabbos the Roisim Bris Oylam, Beni Yevein b'nei Yisrael Oysim Yoylam, Kishesh Shemos Hashem Yisrael Yisrael Oretz, Ve'im Hashvi Shabbos Ve'inafash. Now, Parshat Tat in this Pasuk, we're talking about on Shabbos itself. Shomu b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. Why should we keep Shabbos? Why? Kishesh Shem Os Hashem Yisrael Yisrael Oretz. 6 days Hashem Kaviyochel worked, and then Kaviyochel, the seventh day, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shabbos Ve'inafash, he rested. Now, when we're saying Vayinovash, this whole Veshom B'nei Yisrael Shabbos, we say it, for instance, every Friday night, we sing it before Shemone Esrei. And which is appropriate, because that's the beginning of Shabbos, Veshom B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. In that same Pasuk, we're saying, oh, Vayinovash, Shabbos has already gone away, and we lost our Neshama. That's kind of strange, you know, the whole Shabbos lasted for two Psukim. Veshom B'nei Yisrael Shabbos, Beni Vein B'nei Yisrael Oysel Yoylam, 6 days Hashem worked, seventh day he rested, and Shabbos is over. Sounds like the old Shabbos is about 2 minutes. It's a little bit strange. So the Barsha.
You know what it sounds like?
I'm sorry?
You we sing Sholem Aleichem.
Right, and then we say Tzeichem Shalom.
First, we say
Shalom. So you're saying that it's kind of consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. Shkoyek. By the way, there are some people that don't say the Tzeichem Shalom for that reason.
Right.
Okay, but the Tzeichem Shalom is not referring to Shabbos, it's referring to the Malachim. The Malachim come to visit, and we say Malachim kum terai. We sang, and we greet them, we thank them for coming, and then we say, now you can go on your way to visit the neighbor. I don't want to keep you. You have a lot of other homes to visit tonight. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so the Baal Shem answers the Pshat HaZazoy. When Shabbos is about to leave, it's typically the Zman of Rosen de Rosen, meaning the Zman of Shabbos Shudis, when everybody's on a high. That's when Shabbos and Baruch Hashem, it's getting to its highest peak, and Shabbos Shudis, if you're, especially in Haimish Shabbos Medish, they sing together, they hear Torah, they enjoy that last few minutes of Shabbos, and then when Shabbos is over, they feel bad, Shabbos has gone away. There's a famous, in the Rabbi Soloveitchik, he has a nice shtickle in his book, and there's also taped recordings of his speaking about one time that he was in, I believe he lived in Warsaw, and he, for some reason, he didn't go to his regular minyan, so instead I think he went to a Ger Shtibel, which was down the block from where he lived, and he came there to the Shtibel, and he was sitting there and waiting there, and they were enjoying Shabbos Shudis, and they were singing, and there was Torah, and they were eating, etc., etc., and it's starting to get late and late and late, until at one point Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was still a youngster at that time, I think he was still a bacher, went over to one of the yidden there, and he said, can you tell me, when are you going to daven Maariv? And the yid looked at him and said, and he spoke to him in a beautiful Yiddish, and he said, do you long and yearn so much for that goyish weekday that you really want Shabbos to end? Wouldn't you like to extend the Shabbos that much longer instead of having to go back into the goyish workday? And so the Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this incident in his book with a tremendous amount of reverence and respect for that response, because he said the yid that he was talking to was a pashut yid, but he spoke to him with such fervor, with such sincerity, he saw that Shabbos is really something so special to that person, and he wanted to just hold on to it as long as possible, every additional minute. And he spoke about this in one of his drushes many, many years later, in a very, very warm fashion about, what a tremendous feeling for Shabbos, I want longer and longer and longer. So the Baal Shem doesn't quote this story naturally, but the Baal Shem says that this Vayinofash is specially set in the Torah right at the beginning of Shabbos to tell you Friday night, Rabid, I know what you're going to feel like in 24, 25 hours from now. You're going to go and say, oi, I'm losing the Nisham Yisayra. Think about it now on Friday night and use and utilize every minute to its fullest, because in 24 hours, poof, Vayinofash. So we're telling him now, appreciate now the mitzvah of Shabbos. Appreciate now the Kedusha Shabbos. Don't just start thinking about it Shabbos Shudis time at the end of Shabbos. That's how the Baal Shem learns. The Kotzke learns just the opposite. Kotzke says that any time a person ends Shabbos, he's on a high. He's really Baruch Hashem for 24 hours. He has not been listening to news reports. He hasn't been watching internet. He hasn't been looking at his emails. He's on a high, Baruch Hashem, he's been pure the entire Shabbos. Now he has to go back into the world of Gashmis. And from Motzei Shabbos until Friday evening, the person unfortunately could accumulate a lot of soil, dirt, filth, etc. So by the time next Shabbos comes along, he is totally soiled, totally black, and he has to now emerge from that week of Gashmis. And therefore, it's at that time when Shabbos begins, he says, Vay of the Nefesh, wow, that Neshami Yaseda that I had from last Shabbos, that kept me on a high for so long, I lost it. I'm looking in the mirror now, and I look as dark, as bleak, as black as possible. Baruch Hashem, Shabbos is here to go and purify and refine the individual to raise him up once again during the Shabbos. So the value of the nefesh is, oi, how much I've lost of my neshama throughout the week. I haven't learned properly, I haven't done mitzvahs properly, I haven't davened properly. Now with Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, I have an opportunity to kind of fix it all for the next 24 hours.
What was the question here that you're trying to answer to?
What we're trying to answer is, we're starting the Shom V'nei Yisrael to Shabbos that we sing Friday night, and it's not just a question of singing, it's the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So the Kiyum HaMitzvah begins the Shom V'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. You know why? Hashem Yisbarach rested for 6 days. Now it's the seventh day. No, we should be Shoveis just like in Kodesh Baruch. And then you would expect three parashiyos later to say, okay, Shabbos is over 25 hours later by Yinofash. Instead it says by Yinofash right as soon as Shabbos begins. It's as if a person comes into shul 6:46, left in time, and then right after Mincha they say, oh, by the way, tomorrow Rabbi said the Shabbos is going to end at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Why are you telling me this now? A tzaddik, I agree with you fully. The lashon of the Gemara is vay of the nefesh. When is vay of the nefesh? Rashi says it means at the end of Shabbos. If you look at Rashi by Yinofash, Dorshin le oy al nefesh aholchala oy, the nesham is leaving me. Which nesham is leaving me? That nesham yaseira. I just got it Friday night, and you already told me it left. Give me a chance. Give me 24 hours. So that's what's bothering these mafarshim. And so therefore, according to the Baal Shem, Vayu of the Nefesh means, remember Friday night that you're going to lose it in 24 hours. Appreciate every moment and use every moment to its fullest. And according to the Kotzka, it's referring to the neshama, the regular singular neshama that you had, the single neshama that you had from Matzah Shabbos until Friday. Nebuch, that neshama has never fallen on bad times because you have not imbued it with any rochlius or not enough rochlius throughout the week. Okay, on the Moravite. We said in the Mishnah that if you want to be able to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then you have to put away Eruv Tavshil. You have to put away a food that was cooked of a pasloy, but not bread. Now I know that that's not the custom today. The custom today is to put away both a Tavshil and a piece of bread. And we're going to talk about that in Yet Hashem in tomorrow's Shir, tomorrow morning, at 8:05. But at this point, our Mishnah didn't say anything about Pas, and Abaye said, the reason why the Mishnah didn't mention Pas, because it's Pasnished. We don't put Pas away for the Eruv Tavshilim, we put a Tavshil, something that was cooked. Maishna Pastaloi, why not bread? Ilay Mimidi the Malafis Beinan, is it because we need to put away something that acts as a relish to the bread or to the challah? And upas leimalafsa, pas is not the relish because pas itself is the bread, and bread cannot be a relish to bread. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, why is it so important to have a relish? So Rashi says because throughout the week people ate bread every single day. We're talking about not the modern era, but the era that it was until, I guess, 25 or 30 years ago, when people used to wash at least once or twice a day, and they weren't concerned about carbs, and they weren't concerned about calories, and gluten-free, and all that stuff, relatively modern terms and modern concepts. So everybody had bread every single day. So to show that you're preparing food, l'kavod Shabbos, you had to have something that would be a relish to the bread, which apparently they did not have on a daily basis. Therefore, it's got to be a tavshil and not a piece of bread. Furthermore, if that's the case, but daisa nami toloi malafsa. Daisa is cereal. We spoke about that already the last couple of days. You have daisa and targis and tisni. Daisa means that it was only, you smashed or you pounded the kernel of wheat only to divide into two pieces, and you made a farina out of it. Now, that type of farina, that's not a relish for bread. Why? Because the farina itself is made from the same wheat or the same grains. Look at these foolish Babylonians, that they go and eat a piece of bread and they dip it into bread. In other words, when you want to make the bread gishmak, you put a tzim es to it. You add a piece of fish or you add a piece of meat, or you have the 28 different types of dips that you had today. When I was a kid, the only dip that we had Friday night was typically chrein, that you put together with a fish. But today they didn't have hummus and tchina and baba ganoush and guacamole and who knows what the other names are, etc. This is all relatively new fangled notions. But the Gemara is saying is that those types of malafis, a type of relish, that's something special that you would have on Friday night, that you'd have for Shabbos. You wouldn't eat daisa with nahama, bread with farina, because bread and farina, those are both the same material, the same food. You are allowed to make an Eirin B'daisa. But you just told me that the reason why you cannot use pas, because it's not malafes, it's not a relish. Well, dice is also not a relish, and nevertheless you can make an Eirin with dice. Therefore, says Yimor, that's not the reason. Nothing to do with relish. We want to go and prepare something for Shabbos, which you don't have on a regular daily basis. And pas, you have on a daily basis. Some people wash or used to wash two or three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. But daisa l'shchicha, however, farina was once something you had only once a week. Every Sunday morning, echvais, you had bagels and lox. You didn't have this on a daily basis. It was a rare commodity. So that's why you can go and use it for making an erev. Ikadiyami, but there's another version, which is in fact a reverse. We start again, omer abayim. You can only use a tavshil for a tashul and not a piece of bread. My time. What's the reason why you can't use bread? So now we're going the second reason first. Is the reason because you want something that's not shchiach. Upas shchicha. And pas you have every day. V'adaisa lo shchicha. Daisa is not shchiach. You only eat it twice, once a week or whatever. So this is the part of the second lashon which is the opposite of the first lashon, because the first lashon we had the same on the yom Nachumi bar Zchari Mishmei Dabaye Ma'arvim Daisa. Here we're saying Nachumi bar Zchari Mishmei Dabaye Ein Ma'arvim Daisa. You cannot use Daisa, but you said that the reason is because of Lo Shchiach, and Daisa is Lo Shchiach. So Ibazoi, why Ein Ma'arvim Daisa? So the Mor Ella, it's not because Shchiach or Lo Shchiach. Maybe the malav is being, and you need something that acts as a relish, as a dip. Upasli malavsa, pas cannot be a dip for itself. And upasli malavsa, the daisa, nami malavsa, you also can't use the daisa, which is the porridge or the farina, you cannot use that as a dip for your bread. It's kind of silly for people to go and dip bread into farina. It's like dipping bread into bread, since they're both the same basic food item. Okay, from here now, for the next few lines, we're going to focus a little bit more on the details of the Erev Tavshil. So first thing, Mar is going to tell us, you have to have a minimum of a kezayis. That's the minimum share. It's Toni Rebchia Hadashim. If you have lentils, Shebeshulik Tera, which are on the bat of the pot, and you kind of scrape them up from the bottom of the pot, Sayim Mechalei Mishim Erev Tavshil, you can even use those Erev Tavshil, meaning the ispul kezayis, but there has to be at least a shear of the kezayis. And similarly, Omer Yisbereid of Yehuda, Shamnu Nishal Gabi Asakin, if you have shmalz on the outside of your knife, goyro, you can go and scrape it off, the same mecholov, and you can use that for Eruv Tashir. With dafka when, meaning the ispul kezayis, again, it has to have a shear of kezayis. Omer Vasi Omer Ab, a dog in Ketana Meluchim, Ein Ve Mishim Bishulei Nachr. So we're getting off on a tangent, we're talking about the din of Bishul Akum. As you know, you're not allowed to eat anything that was cooked by a goy. However, that's only if the cooking caused the food item to become edible. That means that previously you could not eat from the food item, but you couldn't eat it raw, but as a result of the cooking, then you can finally eat it. But if it's the type of thing, like dogim tana meluchim, that do not require cooking, you could eat dogim tana meluchim, like someone suggested this morning at the shir, sushi, or perhaps, I don't know, sardines. I assume sardines are not cooked, but I don't know. Maybe the same thing applies to herring. I don't know. But anyway, there are fish that you just salt them. You don't have to cook them. They're already edible the way they are. And therefore, if a goy did cook it, that cooking is considered to be irrelevant or inconsequential because it was edible without the cooking. Amar Yosef, so Yosef added, V'yemtzolen nochri, if a goy roasted these dogim ktanim, say mechalei mishum eruv tavshilin, you can nevertheless use it in eruv tavshilin. So what the Gemara is really telling us is a brisker vart, that the two separate dinim, two separate halachas, and that is, for purpose of the bishul akum, it has to have consequence and meaning, because if you could eat the food item without cooking it, then it's not bishul akum, and you can eat it even if the goy cooked it, because the cooking was inconsequential. On the other hand, for purposes of eruv tavshilin, if the goy cooked it, or if you cooked it, then you could use it for eruv tavshilin. Why? Because that is considered to be cooking for purposes of eruv tavshilin. For purposes of bishul akum, it's not a cooking, and therefore, ein ben mishum bishul akum, you can eat it. For purposes of whatever eruv tavshilin, that cooking is enough to be called eruv tavshilin, that it's a tavshil. So the more v'yavdinu nochri kasa d'harsana, what happens if a goy takes fish yoach, that's fish sauce, and mixes it with kemach, with some flour, and he makes out of it some sort of fish hash, also, then you cannot go and, then it has a din of bishul akum. Why? Because he's cooked it. Frankly, more upsheet, of course he cooked it. I mean, you cooked this fish hash and mixed it with the grain, with the flour. Says Imam Mahmoud, the same I would think, harsana ikr. The ikr is really the fish brine, the fish yolk. The fact that you put in a little bit of kemach adds is a goodish. Kamash, well, no, kimcha ikr, that in fact the kemach is one of the main, if not the main ingredient, and therefore preparing it by cooking, it has the din of bishul akum. Returning again to, yes.
Don't you make erev tavshilim with a matzah in an egg? What is the meaning we cannot make erev tavshilim with bread?
You're asking a very, very good question. Our Gemara at this point assumes that erev tavshilim is only with a cooked item and not with bread at all. That's today's Gemara. Amir, when we learn tomorrow's Gemara, we're going to see, if you would like to take a quick look at it, so you'll see that I'm telling you the truth, when you get to Yud Zayin on the base, in other words, turn one page, or if you're in the art scroll, turn about 20 pages, you'll see the Tosis, which begins middle of the Omid, Yud Zayin on the base, Omer Rava, Hilchasa Ketana Didan, Valiba de Beisello, Pirish Rashi, Valiba de Beisello, the Omer Tavshul Echad. You only need one cooked item. If you're intending not only to cook but also to bake, you have to go and put aside not only something that was cooked but also something that was baked. And therefore, continue learning the rest of the choices. That appears to be the origin of the minhag that we put away, as you said, both something which was baked and something which was cooked, because many people both bake and cook l'kovid Shabbos on Yom Tov. So we put away one for each one. A tavshil for the bishul, and a matzah or a challah or a bukkel or something for purpose of the afiyah for the bishul. Good?
One item is enough.
Each one of them has one item. One for tavshil and one for afiyah. But I'm actually going
to
learn that mitzvah tomorrow night.
I only intend to cook. It's enough if I have one tavshil.
Halacha l'maisa, my understanding is that you have to have both, because that's already the takana. Mitchell, let's wait till tomorrow's shir, and we'll go into tomorrow. But for today's purposes, it's in the Sechus Deya of Talmud Bavli, and it's exactly one blot further. It's Yud Zayin Amud Beis. It's the final Toy Switch, which begins middle of the Amud. Okay? Good, Peter Shashi, etc. Rabbeinu Tam says, "Lafia Tzarich La'arav Gam B'Pas." Okay. Anyway, Mitchem, we'll learn more tomorrow morning. Getting back to our Gemara, top line on Test Zayin Amid Beis Amar Rab Abba Iruv Tavshilin Tzrichin Kazayis. The minimum shiur erev tefshilin has to be a kizayis. Iboilu kizayis echad. Kulon oidum a kizayis lechol echad di echad. As we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, you can make an erev tefshilin not only for yourself and not only for your household, but we'll see that they were amiroyim that made an erev tefshilin for their entire city. So what happens if the city had 1,000 people? Do you have to put away enough tavshil echad, a kizayis, for each one of the people in the city on behalf of whom you're making an eruv and tavshilin? Or is enough one kizayis? And does the Gemara shayla? Zog the Gemara, kizayis echad kum, adum kizayis chalecha, the echad toshim adiyam rab abba omer rab, eruv and tavshilin, tzrichin kizayis, pein li echad, bein lamei. You only need one kizayis, whether you're making the eruv for one person or you're making the eruv for 100 people, one kizayis is enough. Tanan. We're quoting from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said you prepared a beautiful Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yantiv. Now it's Yantiv morning, and you're preparing now to cook for Shabbos, and then you noticed, somebody by accident ate up the Erev Tavshilin. Or it's missing. It's missing in action. I cannot find my Erev Tavshilin. You're stuck now, you cannot go and cook for Shabbos today on Yontif. However, Shayim men a kosher. If a kosher was left over, say Mechel of Shabbos, that's enough. Freitach Limara, didn't we just say you have to have the minimum of a kazayas? I'm beginning to cook, and I only have a mashu. Don't I have to have a minimum of a kazayas? Ev Limara, my kosher. Lav. Okay, so the Gemara's kasha is, my kosher lav apagav the lechi kazayas. Doesn't the Mishnah mean to say even a kosher just a half an ounce, much less than a kazayas? The Moloyant is be kazayas. And Rashi explains that the lashon of the Mishnah is lav davka. He just means to say he had started off with a large shear of his Erev Tavshilin, and unfortunately most of it got eaten up or lost, but there's still some left. But that some that is left, that mashu is a minimum shear of a kazayas. We're not talking about literally a koshu, we're talking about at least a kazayis is left over. Talking more about the toshima tavshul zet sli, lafilu kovish, sholuk, mevushul, kulyes o aspanim, shenosan lov chamim, mei erev yontiv, chilos vesoy ve'en lo yishir. So first the Braisa tells us that the word tavshul, which normally denotes cooking, like cooking a chicken soup, is lav dafka. It includes tzli, roasting, lafilikovish, even pickling. If I took some cucumbers and I put it in some vinegar or whatever, and it's turning into pickles, that's also, you can make a eruv tavshilin on the pickles. Sholuk means something that was very, very well cooked. You didn't cook the fish just for an hour, you cooked the fish for 3 hours. Mavushul is the normal standard of cooking. Kulyas Aspanim explains Rashi in the fourth line is dag maliach, one of these salty fish, verach, it's nice and soft, v'nechel k'moy shulchai, you can eat it raw, like we had on the Omed Aleph. Olav chamin, typically what people do is, they pour some hot water on it. Maybe they pour the hot water to get some of the salt off, maybe to soften it up, but whatever it is. If you do that, me'erev yontif, that's also considered to be preparing it for eruv tavshilin. So it doesn't have to be a tavshil per se, it has to be something that was roasted, or pickled, or cooked, or the salted in hot water. Chilos v'safi ein l'shir, both when you put it aside, as well as if some of it was eaten up, ein l'shir, there's no shir. Frankly, Mara, no shir, my love, ein l'shir klal. And you said before there has to be a minimum shir of a kizayis. What it means is there's no maximum. You could put away a whole box of matzahs, or for that matter, 10 boxes of matzahs, or 25 chalas. There's no maximum. Or in the case of the bishul, not just one piece of fish, a whole fish, not one egg, a dozen eggs. You can put away whatever you want. But the minimum is there. The minimum has to be a kazayis, but a mishir l'mach. Amrufu namara, eruv tefshilin tzrichandas. An eruv has to be made with a forethought. Sakti mara, pshita, no, of course. Das meiniach beinan. Okay, sorry. Eruv tefshilin tzrichandas. Sakti mara. It's clear that you need the das and the maniach. In other words, the person who's putting away the Erev Tavshilin, he has to know that he's putting away the Erev Tavshilin. You have foods on the table, and now you're putting it away, you're putting it in the refrigerator. And then, Yom Tov morning, you remember, oi, I didn't make an Erev Tafshilin, but look, in my refrigerator I have a whole bunch of cooked eggs, and in my bread box I have some fresh bread, or in the pantry I have a box of matzahs. Oh, so I have a full Erev Tafshilin. No, that doesn't do the trick. Das Meniach Binen. Somebody has to put it away consciously and conscientiously. He's doing it. L'shem Erev Tafshilin, Machta Brocha, Metihirat Zayin. He's putting away, and hey, it's got to be Das Meniach. That's a Dovah Pashut. The question is, when Rav Huna Amar Rav said that Erev Tzrichen Das, Das Mishenich Loi Be'inan, Oy Loi Be'inan. Do you also have to have that the person, the beneficiary of this Erev, did he have to know about the Erev? Or did he not need to know about the Erev? It's Toshima, Davud, Shmuel, Ma'arav Akul Nerdo, Bami Vrabasi, Ma'arvi Akul Tveria. It was the minig of the father of Shmuel that he made an Erev before Yontif for the entire city of Nerda, just in case somebody in town forgot, or somebody in town didn't have enough for a Tafshul or a Kezayis. So he had in mind everybody, and similarly Rabbi Rabbas he did for everybody. So what do you see from that? Presumably there were lots of people in Shul that had no idea that the rabbi was making an Erev on their behalf, and therefore you do not need the Das of the beneficiary, you only need the das of the one that's actually making the erev. And similarly, machrez of Yankiv bar Idi, mishlo niach eruv etefshil yom v'yismachal shali. Leil yontif after a leil, or shachris in the morning, he would make an announcement to Boisai, if anybody forgot to put away erev tefshilin, you can rely on my erev tefshilin. So that also gives you the sense that the people didn't even know that there was an Erev Tafshilin that was made. They forgot, they didn't realize. And so therefore the beneficiary does not have to know at the time of the setting aside of the Erev Tafshilin that the Erev Tafshilin was in fact made and set aside. That comma, how far can a person have in mind for somebody else? For instance, we're here in New York, most of us here in New York, it's now Erev Yom Tov, and we want to go and we're concerned that somebody will have forgotten. So you want to have in mind everybody in the world. People who live in Australia, people who live in Eretz Yisrael, people who live in Brazil and in London. You want to have them all in mind. Does that help? So to Yomoro, ad kam, how far? It helps for all people that live within the tchum. That means throughout your entire town or city. And then the additional tchum, which is another 2,000 amas. But anything beyond that, says Rashi, the person doesn't have in mind. When a person makes an Erev and he has other people in mind, he typically has in mind the locals. He doesn't have an international approach. He's thinking about the local people, the local community, up to the tchum. So from Rashi's mashmah, what happens if a person did have in mind beyond that? Maybe it would help. See, Rashi in the middle of the Amud, about 3-4 lines above where we are, he didn't even think about those guys. He figured, you know, I live in Kishkin Halash, they live in Ketchkemet or in Dyun Yush, let their rabbi have them in mind. You know, it's not even on my radar screen. So it's mashu from the Rashi that if he did in fact have in mind other people, it could go beyond the Tchum Shabbos. So the Meforshim say, that's Taka Emes, but it would only go until the amount of additional tchum that you could add as a result of an eruv tchum. So in other words, add another 2,000 amas, because the beneficiary of the eruv tafshilin has to be able to be nehemet, to eat, to touch, to pick up this eruv tafshilin. If this person is so far removed that he can't even get to the eruv tafshilin, then he cannot use that as the basis for cooking for his own family. Zokim Arvaita. Ahu Samia, there was a blind person. His job was to repeat the braises in front of Shmuel. And obviously he did it by heart, because unfortunately he was blind. So Chazi Shmuel saw that this Samia, that this Suma, Tava Otzev. He was never sad, and it was Yontif. Amalei Amayitiv is why he's so sad. Amalei Doleisi Veriv Toshim. I forgot to put an Eriv Toshim in yesterday. Amalei, so Shmuel said, Smoy Chadidi, you can rely on me. Remember, Shmuel's father made an Erev Akul Ne'edah. So presumably, Shmuel followed in his father's footsteps, And he also made an Erev Neder, and as Barry is always wants to remind us, Shmuel lived in Neder. Why? Because he would always say, Nehirin li shvina derekia. Oh, that Shmuel would say that I am as clear about the roads and paths Berakia up in Shemayim as they am here in Neder. And then Barry will tell us, why was he such a bucky on the streets in Neder? Why did he sit in the Bismedish all day? Because and a doctor had to make
house calls.
He had to know all the streets, he had to know all the avenues, he had to know where the west side, the east side, and which goes and where and here and there. So anyway, so he was the Reuven there. Don, he made an Eder for everybody, including for this blind fellow. So obviously this blind fellow was very happy. Lashana, a year later, Chazidav Otzit, he saw that he was again upset. Amalei, I might see this, why are you so sad? Amalei, again, lo yisir Erev Dashan, again I forgot. Amalei, he said, if that's the case, Poisheyat, you unfortunately are negligent. The Kuliyal Meshar Lididach Aser. If everybody else can rely on mine, but not you. Meaning, says Rashi, that if you're going to teach people that they can always rely on the rabbi's Erev, then they're never going to make their own Erev. And they're always going to say, I rely on the Erev, I don't have to worry about it. And that shows you, says Rashi, Einoi Choreid Lidivrei Chacham. The Chacham made a special takana that every year who wants to be able to go and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos without violating Hilchas Yom Tov, you got to make an Erev Tashil. To every single time, forget, that means it's not so important to you. Because if it was important to you, you would write it on your calendar, you'd put up three notes on your refrigerator, one note on the door, you would tell your wife, you would ask the Mr. or Mrs. Siri from the cell phone to tell you, you'd put on a timer, you'd do 12 things to remember. The fact that you forgot again and again means it's not so important to you. So therefore, says Shmuel, you can no longer rely on my Erev. So the more like the turn about Yom Tov Shechol Yosh Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls down Erev Shabbos on Friday, Ein Ma'arvan Le'eruv Tchumen Ve'eruv Chatzeis. Until now we were talking about Eruv Tavshilin. But the two other types of Eruv. Eruv Tchumen that you want to be able to go another 2,000 Amis. Or Eruv Chatzeis, you want to be able to go and carry on Shabbos with an Erev. So, what's the din? Normally on your regular Friday throughout the year, people do make Eruv Tchumen to be able to go 2,000 Amis towards the north and the south. People do make Eruv HaChatzeis to be able to carry on Shabbos. But today is Friday, is Yom Tov. Can I do that today? Says the Tanna Kamma, Yom Tov Shechol Yosh Shabbos, Eimar. You can't make Eruv HaChumen, you can't make Eruv HaChatzeis, forget about it. You cannot do it. Rebbe Oimer, Ma'arim Eruv HaChatzeis, Ovel Eruv HaChumen. Eruv HaChatzeis, yes, and Tchumen not. So now you're wondering, Manishtana, what's the difference? Neisha'ata Oisiv Dewa Asaloi, the Ata Oisiv Dewa Amutaloi. You can go and prohibit it or preclude him from doing something that today is asur. But you can't preclude him from doing something which today is mutter. Meaning, today on Yom Tov, the din of Tchum applies just like Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, you cannot go beyond 2,000 amis, beyond your city limits. Same halach applies to Yom Tov. However, the halach of carrying is different. You cannot carry on Shabbos, but you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov as long as it's the Torah, even if it's not a Torah ochel nefesh. We paskel like Beisil, mitor shehutra litzoyrach, meaning litzoyrach ochel nefesh, hotanami shaloi litzoyrach, means shaloi litzoyrach ochel nefesh. So if you go and tell a person that today, tchum applies, you can't go beyond the tchum, don't make an eruv tchum for Shabbos, that's sensible, that's logical. But to go and say, today you're allowed to carry, but you cannot come prepared today in Eruv HaChatzeis to be able to carry tomorrow, said Rabbi, no, that doesn't work. You can ask him a Dabar Aser, Fiat Oysim a Dabar Amutalai. So bottom line is, there's a machloikis between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Legabi Eruv HaChatzeis. How do we paskin? Itmar, Rabbi Malachi Tanna Kamma, we paskin like Rabbi Tanna Kamma, L'chumra, that you're not allowed to make Eruv HaChatzeis. Ushmul amalach kerebi lekula, that you're allowed to make a ruve chatzeres on Friday, which is Yantav. And now the Gemara asks something which on the surface is very perplexing. Iboilu halach kerebi lekula oy lechumra. Are we passing like Rebbe for a kula or for a chumra? Freiti Mara, what are you talking about? Pshita to lekula ka'amar. We just finished saying a moment ago, the machloket between Rebbe and the Chacham is, Rebbe says you're allowed to make a Ruvei Chatzeres. The Tanakh Kama says you're not allowed to. So obviously Rebbe is Lekula. What type of question is this? Halach k'Rebbe Lekula Lechama. Everyone mishum neshalach Rebbe Lozer Legoyle. Rebbe Lozer sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And he said to them, Loikish atam shenim Bavel. Not like you guys are learning here in the Talmud Bavli, that Rebbe Matib Echom Oysen, like we just learned. El of just the opposite. By Unz and Eretz Yisrael, they say, Rebbe Oysen Echom Matire. Rebbe Taka says it's Osur. In other words, we reverse the two Shitas of the Tanakh Kama and Rebbe. It's afraid to more Taka Mai. Then it's Taka Gute Shaila. When Shmuel Haskins like Rebbe, did he mean the Rebbe in Bavel? Or did he mean the Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael? Did he mean Rebbe that's the Mekel? Or Rebbe that's the Machmir? It's my Toshima. So let's try to bring a raya from a real life story. So Rav Tachlifa Baradimi Oved Uv the Kavasi de Shmuel. Rav Tachlifa did a Maisei Paskin just like Shmuel. I don't know what he paskined, but he paskined like Shmuel. The Yomar Rav, Tchilas Eirua, Dehaitzir Merabon and Lekilkula. Apparently that was one of his first Psoki Din, or Piskei Din, and Rav was unimpressed. And Rav said that the beginning of the Pesachim of this young Talmud Chacham, the Kilkula, he's made a boo-boo, he's made a mistake. Zokimar. And it's not just a mistake. A Kilkula means that he's ruined it. Zokimar. Let's try to be medayik. Iyamet b'shloim alekula ka'amar ha'ini Kilkula. If you're going to go and tell me that he passed him like Shmuel, that he passed him like Rebbe, that you're allowed to make a Ruvei Chatzeres, and therefore everybody's carrying that Shabbos, and Rav held, you're not allowed to. Remember, Rav argued, right? There was a machlokes. Rav amaloch etanakam, Shmuel amaloch kereb. So if you're telling me that Shmuel and Rav Tachlifa are passing like Rebbe who's being Mekel, then I can understand the kilko, that people are going to rely on an unreliable Erev. Eliyam is a chumra, but if you're telling me that Rav Tachlifa is telling us a chumra, and that is, I'm passing like Rebbe, and I'm paskening like Shmuel, that I'm not allowed to carry tomorrow. So Michael Kula, what's the Kilkula? He was Machmir. It's easy to be Machmir, and what could be the Kilkula? So tomorrow, Michael Kula Ika. Everyone can calculate, but Rabin, I know Kilkula. Pshat is, says Rashi, throughout the year, there are 52 Shabbosim in the year. Out of the 52 Shabbosim, 51 everybody carries outside because they made an Erev. Now it comes one Shabbos in the year. When it comes out Friday is Yom Tov. They didn't make an Erev. Many people are going to forget. They are so accustomed every Shabbos morning without thinking to leave their home and they're carrying the Siddur and their Talis to Shul. Then they're going to do that on the Shabbos which is going to follow Yom Tov without thinking. It's automatic. Just like you put in your Shabbos suit and your Shabbos tie and your Shabbos finery. You carry your talis and your siddur in your hand, you take it to shul, because it's always an Erev. That's the reason why there's going to be a kilkul. If you could say that Tachlifa was being machmir, and he's saying that Rebbe is machmir, and since he's machmir, you're not allowed to go and carry tomorrow. And therefore, don't make an Erev. You're not allowed to make an Erev Chatzeres on Friday, which is Yom Tov. Don't make an Erev Chatzeres. And guess what? Nobody will make an Erev Chatzeres. But guess what? 5%, 10%, 20% of the people are going to carry tomorrow because they're going to forget. They won't realize that there's no Erev. Every other Shabbos in the year, they're carrying. That's the kilkul. And therefore, says the Gemara, I cannot be poishet my shayla how Shmuel paskin, when he paskin like Rebbe, did he mean the kula or the chumra? For those of you living on the west side, many of you are probably aware, this is not intended, my next few words are not intended to be either an endorsement or critical of the West Side Erev. I leave that for the Poskim and the Rabbanim, but the West Side Erev, typically the Thanksgiving Day weekend Shabbos, they typically announce in all of the shuls that there is no Erev for this Shabbos, that people should know, don't carry this Shabbos. The reason why is, number one, because all the behemoths and chayas in the Macy's parade knocked down all of the wires. And number two, because they want people to know, don't think that there is no mitzvah of carrying, or no Isser of carrying on Shabbos. There is an Isser of carrying. There is an Erev, but if there is no Erev, remember, there's a din of carrying. So that's the problem that Rav was pointing out to the Chalifa, by saying, even if he's being machmir, don't make an Erev, there'll be a kilkul, because people will carry without realizing that there is no Erev. How do we paskin? Amr Rav, Amr Rav Chizda, Amr Rav Huna, Halacha, Kir Rebbe. We talk a paskin like Rebbe. The Le'esar, and to Aser, meaning that one should not make either Ruvit Chumen or a Ruvit Chatzeres on a Friday prior to, on a Friday which is Yom Tov, right before Shabbos. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai. And any questions?
When you say you explain that you make Shata Osir without the Aser law.
Yes. We're talking about a Friday which is Yom Tov, and the Shaila is, can I make on this Friday an Erev to allow me to travel Shabbos morning through an Erev to Chumen, and can I make an Erev on Friday to allow me to go and carry out in the street on Shabbos? Says Rebbe, you can aser a person, you can preclude him and prohibit him from doing something which is osir today. You're not allowed to go beyond the Tchum on Yom Tov, just like you're not allowed to go beyond the Tchum on Shabbos. So don't make an invention called an Eruv Tchumen today on Friday, where today you are in a prohibitive zone that you're not allowed to go beyond the Tchum, so therefore don't do it for tomorrow either. However, when it comes to Eruv Chatzeres, you are allowed to carry on Yom Tov. So today, on Friday, to go and say to a person, you can carry today, but don't make preparations to be able to carry tomorrow, says Rebbe, that doesn't work. If he's able to carry today, you can allow him to go and extend that carrying. He can get carried away to be able to tomorrow carry things away. Okay?
But then Maskana was saying, according to Rebbe, I thought you said he prohibited both.
My good friend, Brother Shai, please go back to the Braisa. Tana Rabbanan. You see the Braisa about three quarters down the Amid. Yom Tov Shechol Yosh Be'erev Shabbos, says the Tana Kama, Ein Ma'arvin, neither Ruvit Chumen, nor Ruvit Chatzeres. Rebbe says, a Ruvit Chatzeres you can, a Ruvit Chumen you cannot. So, obviously, Rebbe is the one that's Mekel. Skip four or five lines, Ziboiluhu. Halach Kerebi L'kula Oy L'chumra. What are you talking about? L'chumra L'kula. Pshita L'kula Ka'amar, of course it's L'kula. Since he said you're allowed to, that's a Kula. Says he, well, because Reb Lozer sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Goyla, don't learn like we just learned the Braisa that Rebbe is Matir, he says you're allowed to, but it's the other way around, El Rebbe Oyser, B'chacham Matirin. So now the question is, when Shmuel says that Paschal like Rebbe, is he talking about the Rebbe that's Mekel, or the Rebbe that's Machmer? Ruchim Til. Okay, if there are no further questions, you mentioned tomorrow morning, 8:05, we're going to start on Daf Yudzayin from the second line from the top. Hagmar Sima Toiva, Agit and Kvittel, Agit Kiven Shtur. Everybody should have a wonderful, happy, healthy, joyous Simcha Dika year of Yetzir Shem. Kol Tov, everybody.
Amen, amen.
Thank you. Amen, Kinyi Rotzeh.